Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, brother?
Hey, babe, what's going on?
Oh, no. Did you get blocked again, Shane?
Again! Again! What did I do? You know, I don't understand it. I mean, all I do is say nice things. Hell, we just, on the other day of SEC Hangover, I even did a power ranking of my favorite items at Cracker Barrel, only to find out I have been blocked yet again. So, I don't know.
It's even worse than that, Shane. Cracker Barrel, for anybody that missed it, we don't even have to mention the show, but they have partnered with another college football show. So it's like it's a double-edged knife in the back, isn't it?
Well, maybe they're Vandy fans. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I just went too hard on Vanderbilt
or Florida.
Diego. Oh, it could be Florida. Could be Florida. But yeah, it kind of blows my mind. But you know, it is what it is. And I wish them nothing but the best. I think they'll do fantastic on the show. But it hurt because I was actually going to go today. You know, and I didn't. Yeah. I didn't, Mike. Right before the show, my wife, she says, "You want to go grab a bite to eat?" She didn't even tell me. Like, sometimes when I get my truck, the GPS will tell me how long it takes to get to Cracker Barrel. That's when you know you go there a lot. And it did that. And I said, not today. Not today, Cracker Barrel. Not my money today.
And it's even worse, Shane. Again, we should never mention him again after this show, after this blockage, this deal they decided to do. For anybody that doesn't know, people probably don't care, but the Cracker Barrel corporate headquarters.
Yeah.
It's literally 5 minutes from my house. I mean, I could pop. We could do shows from there every single day. But some people, they don't know what the hell they're doing. You know what?
You know what? Screw them. You know, we got some loyal sponsors, and we've got some places that our cousins need to go. Starting off with my bookie. Come on, son.
They've not blocked us yet. They'll never block you. Head on over to mybookie.ag. If you want to get in on the action this football season, Shane, they've been partnered with us for 4 years in a row. Go over to the website, mybookie.ag. And most importantly, if you put in that initial deposit, put in that promo code SEC. You'll see it on the screen down there all football season long. They'll match your initial deposit over at mybookie.ag. And don't forget, Shane, don't forget, because we know you're going to win.
Yeah.
If they fade us, basically, is the formula for winning. After you win, take some of those winnings and get you some of that Tennessee legend.
Yes. I'm going to need – this is where I went immediately when I heard the news of that restaurant we won't mention.
Yeah,
I said, you know what I need? I need a little premium small batch Tennessee legend distillery. I'll be there tomorrow. I'm going to be there at 7, so hopefully if you're local in this area, you're going to make it up to Sevierville. Hopefully I can see you there. We're going to have an awesome, awesome time. You don't have to paint. You can just come up there and sip, but I look forward to seeing you. I'm going to bring a whole bunch of goodies, too, so if you show up, we'll be able to hand those out. Looking forward to that. Tennessee legend, awesome place. And if you're out of town, you say, Shane, I'd love to have some of that fine Tennessee whiskey. Well, just go down to your package store and tell them to order the damn stuff, and you can have it within the week. So you want to help the show grow, please tell the friends, tell the cousins, tell the family about Tennessee Legend Distillery.
Hey, Shane, is this true? Shout out Cousin Spartan. He says the restaurant that shall not be named is labeled as home in Shane's phone.
It's work. So Deb's like, hey, he's at work again, you know? We're not lying.
Well, you know who else is at work, Shane?
Who's that?
Our buddy Steven Up. Come on.
Bam. He's come on, Steve.
For them boys in Tuscaloosa, it's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Shout out, Steven Up, Shane. He just gifted a membership to, it was right on my screen, Rocky McGee. Rocky,
welcome to the family.
We appreciate you, Steven.
I think it's funny how we've added an N to his name. It's Steve Up. Yeah, but for some reason, even the music, it says Steven. So maybe he goes by Steven. Steve, do you go by Steven or?
Well, yeah, you're going to... Because you're now, have the ability to click on these.
Yeah.
Long story short, but YouTube keeps screwing up to where That's his handle. But we're not seeing his display. The display name is Steven Up.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure.
But, hey, we got another one, Shane. Vol
Pet. Hell yeah. Thank you, Vol.
Gifted 5 memberships, Shane. He's trying to help you get over this trauma.
Thank you.
We appreciate you, Vol Pet. He has gifted Blazin. Yeah. there's another one. Mike Neenum.
Yeah.
JG040. Buddy Israel. And Kick in Ace. What a name.
Kick in Ace.
Welcome to the family. Courtesy of Vol Pet. We appreciate
you,
buddy.
Thank you, Vol. Appreciate you, man. Really do. Absolutely. Oh,
man, runner for best name yet, Shane.
Uh-oh.
Stoned on game day. M-I-Z. Welcome to the family. We appreciate you, Stoned on game day.
Hell yeah. Cool, Dave.
Liquid, he gifted. Man, cousins are in a great
gifting mood. Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Trying to lift Cousin Shane's spirits. He has gifted.
Means a lot.
To Craig Morgan. Craig,
welcome to the family.
And then one more, Shane. Brian Simpson, the comedian? I don't know. Brian Simpson. Welcome
to the family. Come on, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. And we just got a gift here from Sorley, Shane. Florida shocks the world and has one loss this season to Ole Miss. What do you think the likelihood that Florida, again, that would shock the hell out of you, wouldn't it?
Oh, hell yeah. Like, by what month? Just kidding. Oh, shit. No, one loss, Florida? Good God. If that happened, who's the cousin that did this? Who is
Sorley?
What's it? He got a number there. I got to do something, man. If that happens, if Florida goes 11-1, I will go down there.
How about this, Shane? The odds are 22-1 to win the SEC.
Yeah.
You will walk 22 miles.
Nah, fuck the miles, man. I mean, I don't want to die.
One loss. You're saying they're going to suck ass.
No.
11-1, you won't
22, I will die, Mike. I will not make it.
How about you get a week to do it so you can spread it out?
I will go down to Gainesville for 22 hours. How about that? For 22 hours on the side of some street down there wearing a sign that Billy Napier's the greatest coach. He's God's gift to football, something along those lines. And I will ring a bell, whatever I got to do to bring awareness to the badness that I've brought on Billy Napier. It's not going to happen. But if it does, Gainesville, here I come.
Okay. I think that's fair. That's even better. Yeah, we don't want to kill you.
22 hours. I'm going to take two one-hour breaks, you know?
That's fair. No, I think that's fair of you. That's very big.
It ain't happening, but.
Hey, shout out Gunner. Shane.
Gunner's back. Come on.
Appreciate you, Gunner. He gifted to James Davis. James, welcome to the family. Courtesy of Gunner, big LSU fan. And then, Shane, we got the legend in here, too.
The absolute Tennessee, Georgia legend.
Legend. Cousin JR has done it again.
Shout out JR. He just gifted Jimbo. Jimbo, welcome
to the family.
I hope that's Jimbo Fisher.
You can tell he's about to get back in coach. He starts listening to podcasts again.
All right, buddy. Shit. Hey, we got a lot of mailbag to get to.
Yes.
You ready to dive into it?
Let's do it.
All right. So, Official Cousins on the YouTube channel. If you ask a question, you always get it answered. So, we're going to start with all the official cousins that have asked questions, Shane. Mm-hmm. Cousin Christopher Frayden. Hope I didn't butcher that, Christopher. Gig'em, cousins. If the Aggies beat LSU.
Mm.
So, I'm going to throw up our schedule real quick. If Texas A&M beats LSU this year in Death Valley, Shane, it'll be the first time that Texas A&M has won in Death Valley since they joined the SEC, and the first time they have won two in a row in the series against LSU. If that happens, what is the potential for Texas A&M this year?
If they do that?
If I could guarantee you today they're beating LSU at LSU, that's the only information you have. What do you think is the potential for A&M?
I would think ceiling probably 10-2. 10-2 would be with a win over LSU. I mean, you're still that's ceiling. College football.
Hmm. Yeah. I think the ceiling would be even higher.
Nah, no, I'm still getting too carried away.
What are the tougher road games than LSU?
I only see one road game, Texas. I mean, hell, Notre Dame early in the season.
Notre Dame better than LSU. You love LSU. You think?
Don't you reverse this on
Shade,
me?
For 11 months in a row, you said Notre Dame sucks ass. They're overrated. Now you're saying, well, that's a tough game. Let me tell you.
The question was, if you did beat LSU, so you already removed LSU from the board. I'm just saying it's not going to happen. But if it does happen, then I still think 10-2's on the board. I mean,
you said the ceiling though.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the ceiling. I mean, because you got them tough Florida Gators, Mike's Gators down there.
You hate the Gators, too.
You got Notre Dame early, which I always worry about Texas A&M.
Yeah.
South Carolina on the road. And, of course, Texas. There is some losable games there. Mizzou on the road. So, 10-2 is the ceiling if you beat LSU. And I think, wouldn't you sign up for that?
You sign up for it, but the ceiling, if you guaranteed me LSU, the ceiling is 11-1.
Yeah, that's crazy talk. I saw an interesting. I'm gonna see if I find why you ramble about Texas A&M. What do you think? So, what do you think honestly, Mike? LSU, if that happens, what is their ceiling?
I just told you 11-1. Now again, we're saying ceiling.
Yeah,
I'm not saying. I think you're right. It's probably 10-2 is most realistic, but the ceiling, I think at LSU, we're talking Death Valley here, brother. That's way harder than winning at Notre Dame.
Here's an interesting stat from, I really like this Twitter page. It came from nowhere. I don't even remember how it got existed, and now it's got 20,000 followers. SEC numbers guy. SEC teams with no road wins against ranked opponents since 2014. Can you guess what teams are on this list?
No, and I honestly don't care.
Texas A&M.
That's got nothing to do Texas with 2025 A&M. Texas A&M. And it's got nothing to do with Mike Elko as our head coach.
Actually, Mike Elko was the head coach last year when they went on the road against ranked opponents and did not get a single win. So I think it has everything to do with Elko down there. I'm telling you right now, what is more likely to happen, them have success beyond LSU or a 10-2 season, which I think is very successful, but they will be playing a ranked Notre Dame team on the road. They will be playing probably a ranked Mizzou team, definitely a ranked Texas team. So a team, A&M has not done it in 11 years, but you're expecting them to do it four times this season. I think that's crazy talk.
No, I don't think so at all.
Yeah, well, that's
your opinion. Don't teams usually get better in year two? I mean, that's like common knowledge, isn't it? Didn't Tennessee get better in year two, Josh Heupel? Didn't Ole Miss get better year two, Lane Kiffin? Didn't Texas get better, Sarkisian, year two?
What about your boy Hugh Freeze, year two?
Well, he's an idiot, and he's a bad coach. He should be fired.
Don't they all do it, though? I'm just saying.
All good coaches.
Oh, okay. Per Mike, there's an asterisk. Mikey's good coaches.
Recognize good coaches. Again, I'm throwing up the resume here. Dude, what the guy won at Duke.
What's more likely? I'll make a bet with you. Texas A&M more likely to improve and go 9-3 or 7-5, which is more likely to happen this year?
I'm picking them for the playoffs, so I think 9-3.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to do two crazy bets in one show. Okay. We're just 14 minutes in. I ain't doing it.
All right. How about this one, Shade? Cousin Man with the Plan.
Mm-hmm.
What a name. Again, all official cousins get their questions answered. It's a little bit of research I had to do here. Which SEC team has the best second option at quarterback? But here's the critical part, Shane. If their new starter struggles. So he's not saying best backup. He's saying best option two if the new starter struggles. So I did a list here. Here are all the new starters, all right?
Okay.
I'll go through them. I do have mine that I think will be the best. You tell me when I get done here. Alabama, Ty Simpson.
Yeah.
Auburn, Jackson Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, Gunnar Stockton. Kentucky, Zach Calzada. Mizzou, I'm assuming Bo Prabula.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, John Mateer. Ole Miss, Austin Simmons. Tennessee, I'm assuming Joey Aguilar, and then Texas, Arch Manning. Who has the best option two among those?
I don't know. Based off that video I saw today, I'm starting to like Deuce a little bit more. that's kind of what I'm throwing out there, but I do wonder about, maybe Ty Simpson, because that would be a totally different style offense that they would run. You know, you're talking right. about night and day difference. So I think I'm going to lean a little more Deuce here.
Okay. I see why you did that. And I initially went Alabama as well.
Yeah.
But then I said, you know what? I got to go off of what I've seen. Mm-hmm. I'm not going off high school rankings. Because we hear all these players are great, right?
Yeah.
And then they hit the field and you're like, ugh. They need some more seasoning. You know what I mean?
So yes.
I am going with, people are going to think I'm a complete homer here, Shane. Oh, I'm going to go Oklahoma's Michael Hawkins.
Oh.
Because we have actually seen him. He's won on the road in this conference. Now, he didn't look great. I'm not saying he's like his great player. They say he's gotten better. Hell, they say that about every player, right? So I'm going with the guy we've seen, Michael Hawkins, I think, number one. I have seen Sam Horn come in here and look, you know, he was, obviously, if he looked like $1 million, he's the starter. But I've seen his arm talent, so I'm going to give him some leeway. And then third, I'm going Cutter Bowley, who was a true freshman last year. He played against Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't look overmatched completely. I mean, Kentucky, the team did, but the quarterback did not. Hell, they brought in Zach Calzada, so I'm not saying this guy's like the future of the program or anything. But that's where I'm leaning. But I understand Alabama being because Austin Mack, Keelan Russell. I understand if you want to go Auburn with Deuce Knight. And they also got a Stanford transfer, Shane Ashton Daniel. So they got options. I'm not saying those are bad options, but I'm only going with guys that I've actually seen and I know can play a little.
I will throw this one out there too, because I thought this was a good one here. Pugliese down there at Georgia. You remember when we had Rusty on, Rusty talked about this actually being a quarterback competition, and maybe he's a little bit further along than we think. So that may be a kid that gets a look at some point if things go bad in Athens.
Yeah. I just haven't seen enough of them, you know?
Yeah. No, I get you.
But you know who I've seen enough of?
Who's that?
I'd like to see more.
Who's that?
Mijo. Mijo. Welcome
to the family.
An SEC Maverick. Welcome
to the family. I like that name.
And Jason Bagley. We got one of his questions coming up.
Welcome to the family.
Should probably just read them all, then do it. But
Well, while we're here, Cousin Lou says, I'll help somebody out. Who'd he bring into the family, Mike?
Oh, Cousin Lou, he brought in Douglas Drain. Douglas,
welcome to the family. Come on.
Shout out Spartan. He said, hell, did you forget UMass's quarterback?
Damn, yeah.
They're basically.
They are in the SEC, so.
Oh, how about, I like this question too, Shane. Shout out Savos. Give us $5. Of those quarterbacks, which are the least likely to finish the season? He's saying not including the injury. So let me go through them one more time.
Okay.
Ty Simpson, Bama.
Yeah.
Jackson Arnold, Auburn. Gunnar Stockton, Georgia. Zach Calzada, Kentucky. Bo Prabula, Mizzou. John Mateer, Oklahoma. Austin Simmons, Ole Miss. Joey Aguilar, Tennessee, and Arch Manning, Texas. And he's saying not injury, so lose the job.
Calzada in Kentucky. He'll get the start, and I feel like Stoops is going to have to throw that, hey, we got a young guy kind of thing at the end, try to get a little positive momentum going into the offseason.
Maybe I'm reading too much into a clip, Shane.
Uh-oh.
I think it's old Jackson Arnold, who's lost his job before.
Damn.
And anybody that missed it got deleted.
Mm-hmm.
But the internet, man, it lives forever. Jackson Arnold got reamed out by old Hugh. Hugh's throwing his visor down. I bet that reporter got told to delete that effing video. You know?
Oh, yeah. You've got those DMs before, haven't you?
So, again, I'm not rooting against Jackson Arnold, but we have seen Hugh Freeze, have a quick trigger. He'll throw his quarterback under the bus. And then a week later says, yeah, that guy was always my guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Jackson Arnold, I don't know. It could go either way with him.
Could. It absolutely could. But I'm just leaning toward, yeah, you may be right. I mean, I'm not giving you this one. I'm going to stick with Calzada.
We're just not going to agree on anything
today.
No,
not today. Not today.
I like it. It's more fun that way. All right. Shout out cousin Ethan Martin. Shane, official cousins always get their questions answered. I love this one, too. Which SEC quarterback, Shane, will finish the season with the most rushing touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
And he also asked which SEC quarterback will finish with the most passing touchdowns. And he says regular season only, so we're not counting any playoff or anything.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go rushing. Give me Lenore Sellers.
Rushing. Yeah, that's exactly who I went with. He had 7 rushing touchdowns last season. I think he figures to have a lot more.
Yeah.
I also considered Marcel Reed. Mm-hmm. I consider Diego Pavia. He had 8. Bo Prabulos, hell, he had 10. Well, that's his first career. And Talon Green is up there.
Arch Manning, man.
Yeah, I was going to say wild card Arch Manning. And, hell, rushing machine, Shane. People don't know this. They're going to learn pretty damn quick. John Mateer, 15 rushing touchdowns last season. So he can run the football, too. But all those are good options. But I do like Sellers to lead that. And maybe we don't even write off Gunnar Stockton.
No, you know, I really do feel like we've got a lot of athletic quarterbacks this year compared to years past. So I feel like there'll be quite a few. There's going to be one of these quarterbacks. You know how they always do the top 10 rushers of the SEC? There's probably going to be one or two of them that are actually quarterbacks, I feel like, at the end of the season.
Right. So which quarterback do you think leads in passing touchdowns?
Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess we are going to agree on something, Shane. That's exactly the two that I had.
Did you almost pivot, like come up with a different one?
DJ Langway. No, it's. I think it's going to be, I would be surprised if it's anybody other than Nuss.
Yeah.
But, you know, a couple others I did consider, Shane. Austin Simmons, if he's who they say he is, I think he'll have a really good year. Arch Manning, of course, got to consider him. And I even considered Blake Shapen, Shane, because I think they're going to get in a lot of shootouts.
Yeah, yeah.
The offense, very, very productive. I would not write him off. Those are kind of the candidates that I had in my mind.
Yeah, good ones. Good ones, absolutely. I think Nuss, 4,000 yards.
Right.
And now they're going to do it again. So, yeah, that's a good one.
How about this one, Shane, from cousin Michael Riley. Shout out, official cousin Michael Riley. Which SEC team hurt the most by expansion and the fact that there's no divisions?
Which SEC team hurt the most because of expansion now that there's no divisions?
Right, and I basically took this as like, well, now they got to play the West, or now they got to play the East. You know what I mean? That's kind of how I read this.
Yeah, I feel like you got to pick somebody in the East because the West has been really dominant, right?
Right, I did.
Okay, so I'm going to go with, Kentucky.
Jay, you're on a heater here. That's exactly who I said. Yeah, they didn't have to play Texas and Ole Miss. Yeah. Of course, they beat Ole Miss. But, maybe that's not fair because maybe it's just they're down right now. But for my money, I don't know.
Didn't they always play Mississippi State, too?
They always caught Mississippi State out of the West. So I think that's kind of hurting them. Yep. And I think you could swing it back, Shane, and say, hell, Mississippi State's hurt by it.
Yes.
Picking up Tennessee, picking up Georgia, Florida, Texas. I mean, good night. Man, they're just throwing a couple of these programs under the bus, you know what?
Oh, some good ones here. You could say Texas. I mean, now that they're over here in Oklahoma. you miss Baylor yet?
Yeah. And then Michael Raleigh's got a follow-up here. If you could reset all the divisions to 2009. That was when Nebraska went to the Big Ten, and it started this whole jumbled mess. So no Missouri, no A&M, no Oklahoma, no Texas. But there would be balance. There would be more you know, better conferences all across the country. Would you hit that reset button?
No, I think we're good.
I think we're good. I think the rest of them are screwed, though.
Yeah, they really messed up on the expansion there. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you come in late for one of those sales, you know what I'm saying? And then they just got one rack left, and they're all mediums. So it's like you're not going to get anything. But, yeah, I feel like that's what's happened with some of these other teams and conferences.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out Kenny Skelton. He became a member.
Come on, Kenny.
As did Jackson Weaver. So Jackson, Kenny,
welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
We know who Jackson is. He's seen if we showed the video. What his Mino coach did today.
All right. How about this one, Shane? This is another really good one. Forrest Whittle, official cousin. Official cousins always get their question answered.
Uh-huh.
Who names the starting quarterback first, Tennessee or Missouri? And who do you think lands those jobs? We kind of already hit that other point, but
yeah.
Who do you think names a quarterback first, Tennessee or Mizzou?
I think Tennessee does. I think they're close to doing it already. But Tennessee will be first, because they're the ones that ultimately need the – we just talked about this yesterday. I feel like Aguilar is one of those guys that needs all the reps that he can get, because I expect him to be the guy. And I think Bo for Mizzou, but it may be a couple of days.
Now, I was right there. That's kind of my pick too.
Yeah.
But did you consider this at all? Mizzou plays a couple days earlier, so they may need to make the decision a day or two quicker. Does that make sense at all? Or
yeah.
But also, I ultimately agree with you. I went with Tennessee because it literally doesn't matter. Missouri could start Ahmad Hardy at quarterback and beat the hell out of Central Arkansas, so there's no rush to do it. Whereas Tennessee, you know, Syracuse, you kind of need to have that resolved.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe you could say, well, we don't want Syracuse knowing. I don't know. It just seems like Missouri is the one where Drake, we're fans, right?
Yeah.
But he's certainly a guy who's like, I'll name him, go out to kickoff. You know what I mean? He strikes me as that type of guy.
He's also one that would be like, it's going to be Sam, and Sam does the first drive, and then it's Bo the rest of the game.
Yeah. All right, how about this one? Now, this one was a little tricky. I didn't quite know how to answer this, but he's an official cousin, and they always get their questions answered. Cousin O. Schmidt, what a name. What will be the most exciting in-game moment for Tennessee this season? Most exciting in-game moment for Tennessee. Does anything come to mind for you?
Yeah, I think for a Tennessee fan, the first pass that's 35 yards down the field. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's don't bullshit it. It's the first vertical that is actually caught and not overthrown or underthrown. You know what I'm saying? That's when you're going to get those warm fuzzies inside, and then you're going to have distant memories of the 2022 season.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so I did this a little differently.
Yeah.
I thought he was just trying to look for like one pinpoint moment. And so I'm saying Tennessee, Shane.
Yeah.
Takes the lead in Neyland Stadium over the Georgia Bulldogs before Georgia wins by 10 or more. But they'll have the lead at some point, and that stadium will be rocking. I can't think of a more better in-game moment in the season.
Well, let's don't forget the last time Georgia came in. Well, I mean, we owned their ass for one drive. You know? that was an all-time high moment. Being there, watching him run, it felt like he was running right at me. And I was like, get up here, guy. Let's celebrate, you know? And then it just fell apart.
Hey, shout out Aaron Harmon, Chaney. Give us $10.
Yes.
Kind of off topic, but is there going to be a 5,000-yard passer or multiple of them? And if so, who do you think?
Let me ask you, does that include playoffs?
I would think it would have to.
I'd go with Nuss, man. I mean, he's right there. I mean, think about it. He did it without four extra games. You can't disagree.
LSU's
with me there.
Not making the playoff. That's the problem there.
Oh yeah, I forgot they're losing to A&M.
So I know. I don't. I think I was going to look it up real quick. Joe Burrow, the year he went off.
Yeah.
I think he had 5,000 pass yards, but yeah. Oh God, he had 5,600. So it is possible, but 5,000.
Arch Manning, right? It's got to be.
Not that maybe the following year.
Yeah.
I can't see any of these guys doing that. I really can't. Yeah. Unless you're right about LSU and they go deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be it, but
shit.
How about Chase Moore? Was thinking the other day, if you could equalize the quarterback position, who are the top six SEC rosters? Here's the deal with that, Shane. Normally, that is that would be a fun exercise.
Yeah.
But I don't think that there's any quarterbacks in the SEC right now where you're saying, or really any teams that are like, well, we're just picking them because of the quarterback. Alabama? No. Georgia? No. Maybe you could say Texas.
Yeah.
But I think it's more about Texas being really good the last 2 years. I think people are obviously getting caught up a little bit in the Arch Mania, but I really don't think people are picking Texas to be the team to beat because of Arch. I could be wrong.
What about us? I mean, I know you hate LSU, and we've been talking about them a lot, but that is one team I feel like some folks are kind of leaning toward them because of the returning quarterback.
Yeah, that's the only one.
Now there's fringe teams. Oklahoma's, the Mizzou's, the South Carolina's, the teams that we see, hey, if everything goes right, Texas A&M, that's another one. It feels like it's because of the quarterback. But if you're talking about the favorites to win the SEC, you're right. That's a good point. That's a good point. Other than us and LSU and maybe Texas, I would put Arch Manning in there.
I think it's more likely this year, Shane, you're looking at Talon Green to elevate Arkansas. You're looking at Diego Pavia to elevate Vanderbilt. You're looking at Austin Simmons potentially to elevate Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's DJ Lagway. I mean, a lot of these guys, Jackson Arnold. There is star power, but I don't think anyone's overrated because of the quarterback, except for maybe Arch Manning. And who knows, Shane? If Arch Manning is who some are billing him up to be,
yeah,
I will almost guarantee you Texas wins the national championship. Mm. How about that?
Mm. How you like them apples?
Hey, clip it. Save it up. Tomorrow's payday. To heck with them bills.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that, cuz.
Let's play his jiggle one more time, Shane. Da-da-da-da.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
I wish we could pile it up and then just go to the bar together with everybody at the end of the pod. You know, that would be awesome. Like, the drinks are on us. You know what I'm saying?
And we would have to invite Cousin Rick, Shane.
Hell yeah.
Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick.
Thank you, cuz.
Aggies.
Thanks, Cousin Rick. 2 weeks out, baby. Loving all the undefeated cousins in the show. Keep on. Beat the hell out of Notre Dame. This really is the best time for that, isn't it, Shane?
It really is.
No one's lost. No one's overrated. Everybody's awesome. All our transfers are going to hit. And if we say you're going to lose a game, we're just idiots.
I hate it. I absolutely hate when we lose cousins, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're just so fired up. They're so pumped up. And then all of a sudden, they're like, I can't wait for basketball, you know?
But hell, Shane, I think you're the most guilty. It's hard to get you out of here when Tennessee loses a damn game.
It's tough. It is tough. But this is an outlet. We got a phone message board, so if you got problems or you need to get it out, you can send it to us.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out Cousin Lou. What do y'all think Arch will have in passing yards and rushing? I think 500 yards rushing. Shout out, Cousin Lou. Appreciate you, buddy. What will Arch have? Well, last year he had 900 yards. Let's see. You know, here's the thing, Shane. I think he's going to struggle. A struggle is a strong word, but I don't think he's going to light Ohio State's ass up.
Yeah.
First game on the road. And Texas got a new offensive line. I think at Florida is going to be tricky. I think Oklahoma with their defensive line could be tricky. And at Georgia, I mean, these are the games he's going to be judged in.
Yeah.
The other ones, he's going to whoop all their asses. He may have 450 yards per game for every other game I haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
That includes A&M. So, you know, his statistics will be nice, but you tell me if I'm wrong, Shane. I think by the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
unless Texas is undefeated and he's like the Heisman front runner, I think people are going to be like, you know, that Arch Manning, he might be a little overrated. and whether that's, I don't think that's fair. Because here's the problem. He's getting touted like he's damn Tim Tebow, Cam Newton, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
We need to see him start like five games before. I mean, we shouldn't even do that anyway. But we need to give him a couple games before we kind of judge who he is.
I get it, but I don't feel like he's going to have that luxury, you know?
And oh, yeah. No, he's not.
Steve Sark was out here the other day talking about this, saying, hey, man, he doesn't know how Arch is handling the pressure because he's not done it yet. So what does it look like after an Ohio State game? Hopefully they win, but if they don't, how does he bounce back? You know, these are questions that we don't have answers for. We know what Peyton Manning would have done. We know what Eli Manning would have done. We don't know how Arch Manning's going to handle the pressure down there. And ultimately, one of the things I thought Sark nailed is that's the identity Texas have. Like, if Texas doesn't win a national championship, this team is considered a bust. Ain't that crazy?
Right.
I mean, they can make playoffs 3 years in a row, but they're going to have that asterisk by them as a bust if they don't win at all this season.
So let's try to answer his question.
Yeah,
cousin Lou, what do you think? Just a ballpark passing and rushing for Arch.
I would say 3,200 passing.
Oh, you nailed it. I was going to say 300 to 3,500. So.
Yeah, and then I would say as far as rushing, I think it's going to be higher than you think. I would say 700. I think there's a lot of rushing going to come here. No, I mean, he could get that one game.
No, I hear you.
Not one game, I shouldn't say that. But, I mean, he could have a couple of 100-yard rushing games. I expect that.
So, 700 rushing?
Yeah.
I'm going to price this right, your ass, 601. Hey, shout out Randall Lane, Shane. He gets five bucks. If Talen Green is having a Heisman year, what would the record be at the end of the year? I would say 8-4, 3,600. Passing yards, 17 touchdowns, less than five picks. He's going to have to throw for a hell of a lot more than 17 touchdowns, but maybe that means rushing. If Talen Green is a Heisman contender, what is the record?
The record has got – I mean, it's got to be a playoff team. They're not going to have the luxury of Colorado here. You know, you ain't got Deion Sanders on the sideline pumping this thing up. So – you've got to have some big wins, and that may be a Texas slate. That may be an LSU in Death Valley, but I feel like this has got for Talen to make it. Ultimately, they've got to be in the college football playoffs, and then the stats have got to back it up. You've got to have 20 touchdowns, I would say at least. And
well, I think closer to 40.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, well, if you're counting rushing too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, because he's going to have to have – this may be one of those guys that has to have 1,000 yards rushing too. It's just – it's going to be a – it has to be a phenomenal season, which Talen can have. He's a freak athlete, but can they win enough games to be considered? Because these votes, stupid votes – I hate the Heisman, and I'll say it every time it's brought up. These votes are in before we get to playoffs, before we get to SEC championship. So he's going to have to wow the voting base early in the season. So, yeah, there's going to have to be some big upsets, and it's going to have to be because Talen just went the hell off.
I would disagree with you a little bit to say I don't think they got to make the playoff. I think they got to flirt with it. I think 9-3, you know, like, again, at LSU, at Texas late, let's say they beat LSU because LSU's overrated.
Yeah.
But let's say they lose to Texas because Texas is like number one, but it's like a back, like what if it's Arch Manning and Talen Green going back and forth and back and forth and Talen Green is just unstoppable, but Texas is a better team. So they went out. You know, I don't think they're going to hold that against Arkansas. If he's elevating a team with a 5.5 over under to 9-3 with this schedule, it's no offense to Missouri or Tennessee or Ole Miss. If he was 9-3 with those schedules,
yeah,
sure, yeah, you got to make a playoff. But with this one, where you are undermanned and you're not predicted to even go to a damn bowl game, Shane. If you're 9-3, you're flirting with the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Jalen Daniels. I know back then it was just the 4-team playoff, but they went 9-3.
Yeah.
He looked like $1 million against some of the top competition, and they gave him the Heisman. I think he can get it done, but 8-4 or less, I don't think it's too realistic.
You know what is realistic?
What's that?
My love for Cousin Lou. Hopefully we get to see him at the Red River if they go undefeated.
Yeah, shout out Cousin Lou. Remember, let's see,
he gifted.
Okay. He gifted Shane Michael Jensen. Michael, welcome
to the family.
And I think we skipped Shane Crazy Cheese Whiz, because
cool name.
Would have remembered the old Crazy Cheese Whiz. Okay, Crazy Cheese Whiz, Shade gifted Aaron Harmon. Aaron, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy Crazy Cheese Whiz.
I never trusted Cheese Whiz. No offense, Crazy there, but
it's probably his company.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. There's just something about, like, why do I have to refrigerate this cheese, but this cheese is fine sitting on a shelf? It just never made sense to me.
I think you're supposed to refrigerate all cheese, aren't you?
No, not Crazy Cheese. I mean, you buy it in the middle of the store. So,
gotcha. Yeah, and that makes sense.
And there was another one, just while we're on food topic, because we got off a little bit. Do you remember those meals? I think it was like something more. It wasn't Dirty More, but it was like roast beef, mashed potatoes, and gravy, but not refrigerated. It was like a dried out MRE or something that sits in the. And I'm like, how is this?
Like Hungry Man? I used to get those all the time.
Kind of like that, but it was a dry. It was a warm version. Like you peeled off the plastic, you threw it in the microwave and heated it up. But it wasn't in the refrigerated section. So I don't understand. I mean, that may be why I die young. Well, I mean, obviously there's a few reasons, but probably the shit that I did eat inside the grocery store, because it didn't make sense, but I still did it anyway.
Mm. Hey, great question here, Shane, from OU Jordan.
Yeah.
Who's winning an Oklahoma drill? Josh Pate, J.D. Pickell, Boomer. I mean, talk about a battle there.
I don't know. I would have said Pate, because he's just an absolute freak athlete that just always grinded. But J.D. jumping out of that fucking pool, man. Even when he failed, he succeeded 90% of us that are in this group chat here. So,
right.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to. My mom's watching. I didn't mean to say the F-bomb.
Yeah, for anybody, again, I'm trying to like size these guys. Not that I'm like sitting there staring at their bodies or anything, but Pate, if in my memory, he's a little bit taller.
Yes,
but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think JD's a little bit younger. I mean, this is like the ultimate battle right here. You know,
that would be a good one. And I think it depends on what we're doing. You know, if we're doing Oklahoma drill, that's why I'm leaning a little more JD. Now, if it's some sort of strategic, you know, arm wrestling or punching or something like that, I could see Josh Pate like knowing the exact science when they get into this type situation. So, but Oklahoma drill, I'm going to lean a little more JD here.
Okay. Shout out B Hollywood, Shane. He just became a member.
Yeah.
Hollywood, welcome
to the family.
Hopefully,
which one of us would win?
I was waiting for you to go there. I was just waiting for it.
It would be you. It would be you.
Hey, shout out Razor Bass, Shane, official cousin. Similar question here. A lot of Arkansas questions. If Sam Pittman were to lose his job, what are the chances Bobby Petrino would be the candidate to take over to be the head hog again?
I think slim, really. I believe there will be a hard reset in Arkansas whenever Sam's gone, and new blood, probably young blood, and it will be a totally different regime.
Yeah, I just looked it up, Shane. Petrino's 64.
Yeah.
Again, you know, we don't write him off just because of his age, but I think given the background, given the history, very, very unlikely.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, I think some big-time candidates would be interested in Arkansas if they can get their ducks in a row. You know what?
Jenkins here. He says, Shane, if your mom comes over to your house, do you hide the liquor? Yes. Yeah, it's all in here. All this Tennessee Legend Distillery, all this good Kingsnake booze I put in here. That, and I have teenagers, so I gotta be careful. Because I was a teenager once too, Mike.
Hey, shout out Bradley Wentworth.
Yes.
Great question here. Does a 9-3 SEC team that makes the SEC championship but loses, do they get into the playoffs? So 9-4, would they get in to the college football playoff? That's a tough one.
I think you got to. You can't tell me the second best team in the SEC doesn't deserve one of the 16 spots in the college football playoffs. So I get where you're coming from, but if they made the SEC championship at 9-3, that means there's a lot of other 9-3 SEC teams that are sitting there, potentially 8-4s. So I don't see one of those kind of like what the committee said. I don't care what happens in the championship game. I feel like you put that team in.
Here's where you're wrong, Shane.
I'm not wrong.
What if some of those losses are non-conference? Like A&M losing to Notre Dame or Oklahoma losing to Michigan? You know, we almost had this situation last year with A&M. Could have got it in. I think they would have taken Texas' spot, and Texas would have been 10-2.
Yeah.
If A&M got into the SEC championship, lost to Georgia,
mm-hmm.
I think the playoff would have taken Texas over A&M, even though they beat them on the field. Because A&M lost to Notre Dame, too.
Why are we talking so much A&M getting in? And I just, it's a crazy.
All right, how about Bama? What if they lose to Florida State and Wisconsin?
Yeah.
And then they make it to the SEC championship. They're 9-3. They also lose to Georgia. They face Georgia again. They lose to Georgia. So then they're 9-4. I think they would not get in.
Nah, they're getting in. Whoever makes the SEC, I don't care what you say. We will riot, because again, 9-3, you made it into the SEC championship. I feel like doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You lose that game, you win that game, you're going off to the playoffs. It would affect the seeding, obviously, but you do get in.
And here's another problem with this 16-team SEC and an 8-game conference schedule.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't. Alabama doesn't have a chance to prove it belongs over Texas. You know, I mean, there's teams like that. Teams that's not, they don't play, that I think could conceivably get in.
You know who I'm glad's in, Mike? Royce, because Royce ain't crazy. He ain't lost his damn mind. He's a little late, but I appreciate Royce Pierce coming through. Good evening, fellas. I know I'm late, but I hope Cousin Shane was on time tonight. I was on time. I was here. I don't know what SEC. I don't know which SEC. I always wondered, like them alien movies. Uh-huh. You know, sometimes they replace somebody, and you're like, this guy doesn't seem like my cousin. You know, there's something off by this guy. I feel like that. I may be talking to this may not even be the real Mike. We may be AI Mike over here, and he's got negativity cranked all the way to 10.
What's not negativity if we're getting other SEC teams in, right? Here's another situation for you. What if the SEC has the number one rank in the playoff, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm just making these up, obviously. Number four, number six, and then somehow, some way, number 11 gets in. So it's 1-11 in the SEC championship.
Yeah.
Even though those teams, 4 and 6, whatever I said, I think they are all getting in the playoff, but maybe 11 misses it if they lose.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it could happen.
Yeah, I mean,
And it couldn't. So, I mean, if and buts for candies and nuts, we'd have a wonderful Christmas, Mike.
Wait, did you say you were tired of A&M?
Yeah, it's another one. Jeez.
Doubleheader here. Shout out cousin Kyle Loving Good. He asked two questions, Shane. On a scale from gas station to Keto's, I don't know if you've had those, to Franklin Barbecue. I know you haven't had that, but it's just let you be known. It's like famous barbecue down in Texas. Where does A&M's offense land this year? I think I've got the perfect answer.
Their offense?
Yes.
Okay, what's the perfect answer?
Bean enchiladas with red sauce. Have you ever had bean enchilada?
No.
Right. Like, that's not something you'd really order, right? I mean, you'd get the beef, you'd get the chicken, and then you'd probably want queso or cheese on it. But you could eat. They do make it. Bean enchiladas, red sauce. Again, red sauce is good. Yeah. Beans are good for you. You get some protein. It's filling, but it wouldn't be my first choice. You see what I'm saying?
You wouldn't kick it out of bed, but, you know.
That's how I feel about A&M's offense this year. Is that fair or not?
I don't know. I'm leaning a little more toward, I guess we're going to do foods.
Yeah.
You ever heard of flautas?
Yeah.
So it's like taquitos, but with flour tortillas. Right. You know, I prefer taquitos, but the flautas, like if it's there, I mean, they're pretty good. You know what I'm saying? As long as they're not too busy with the salad, because I don't like the lettuce and all that stuff.
Right.
Pico touching it and everything. So it's like a flauta, but when you bite into it, there's a little more spice, maybe some hidden jalapenos in there. And I feel like that spice is this Marcel Reed, KC, you know, I feel like it may be that little Concepcion, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a little more seasoning on this offense this coming up season. But it's not, you know, full-blown steak fajitas or anything.
Right, right. And then so here's his other one, Shane. If A&M's offense catches fire,
yeah,
will it be because of play calling? Will it be because of player development? Or a mysterious deal made at midnight yell? And for me, this is an easy one, Shane. It comes down to player development.
Yes.
Because A&M's, they've had the talent. They've had it for years. But coaching has been an issue. Development has been an issue. It's player development by a country mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good analysis.
Now,
shout out. Shout out Hollywood Shade, $20. Another great quarterback for Brian Kelly to go 8-4. See, I'm right there with you, Bollywood.
Oh, how many Heismans can they have down there and not win a trophy? That would suck. That would suck for them. And that would suck. Well, I don't want to say suck, because this is a team that has recently won a national championship. So I don't feel bad for LSU, but it does kind of suck that you've got all these great quarterbacks coming through and you're not doing something with them.
Mm-hmm. All right, how about this one, Shane? I love this one. I like the name, too. Letters to God. What two coaches or programs have benefited the most from NIL, and which two have been hurt the most by NIL? And he says, and you can't say Kentucky. They are a basketball school.
I think that has helped the most is Ole Miss.
Yep.
I would probably also lean Missouri.
Oh, Shane, you are on fire. Those are the two I had.
Yeah. So those are the helps. The hurts would be Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, and, buddy, it's like you're reading my notes here.
And then probably Alabama.
Oh, really? I'm go a little differently. I think it's hurt A&M. Shane.
Really?
Remember, they were the first one to go all in on all this.
True. Yeah.
And I think it destroyed the locker room. It got Jimbo fired. And I think Alabama was more, you know, Saban retiring and all that. But I agree with you with Georgia, just simply because I don't think the depth has been there the last couple of years that was there during their great championship run.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, they've added guys. You know, it's not like they don't do NIL or anything. But I think and we're seeing it, you know, players that leave there, even guys that can't get on the field, they're going to other SEC schools and becoming key contributors.
Yeah.
Those are guys in years past would be just the next man up in Athens. So I think you absolutely nailed it with all your other takes.
I do like Blessed here. He talked about Florida. I feel like that's one that kind of hit at first, but it seems like they were just late to the party for some reason, you know, because now they're finally getting it. Like, hey, if we stop trying to fire our coach, we can get a roster here.
Hey, shout out Jason's story. Shane, remember, he's became a member since this started. So shout out Cousin Jason. What's the top five football movies that get you fired up for kickoff? Do you have any?
Yes. I mean, Unnecessary Roughness, I would say. I love Any Given Sunday. I think that's a fantastic movie. Okay. Do you remember the last Boy Scout? That was a football movie. Waterboy. I'm just trying to think of
Waterboy's on my list.
Yeah. And then I was trying to think of another one that maybe.
I got two. I think the best.
The Program.
Come on, Shane. Come on, Shane. I was going to say the best football movie, college football movie I think ever made, The Program.
Yeah.
So that's on my list.
I'm watching that as soon as we get it done here.
And then One You Missed features one of the current SEC head coaches, Shane. Can you think of it?
Blindside?
Blindside, baby. Come on, old you freeze. We got to get back over to school. Remember that?
Yeah, he did go to Tennessee, so I didn't much care for that movie. In fact, I immediately hated Sandra Bullock after that one. So,
all right, how about this one, Shane? Great question, I think, from Ole Miss.
Yeah?
If you could choose a ninth conference game for each team just this season, though, who would you want it to be? And I have a list. How about I just do mine, and you let me know if I'm wrong about any of them.
Do it.
I love this game, Shane. I've talked about it many, many times. I wish it was on the schedule. This is one of the, you know, without divisions, it's, you know, we had to lose some of these games. Auburn and LSU.
Yeah.
I wish that was, if there was a ninth, put them together, because that's just too good of a game to not have on the annual schedule, in my opinion.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it.
Okay, and then someone very similar. I know
that would suck for Auburn, though, right? To have Georgia, to have Alabama and LSU every year.
Well, I hear you, but again, their schedule is relatively light aside from those. So yeah. I also try to try to balance it a little.
No, I get you. I get you. That's just a tough balance there.
And then I feel really bad for this fan base with the scheduling. They kicked ass last year. They may kick ass again, so it's not like I feel horrible for them. But South Carolina is missing two of their big-time rivalries.
Yeah.
But I could only pick one, right? So I went Georgia. Georgia, South Carolina. I would love to see that game. Lenore Sellers against the Dogs. I think South Carolina could even beat them in Williams-Brice this year.
The only one I'd argue with is Tennessee, because that was turned into a pretty nice one, you know. Yeah. But yeah, South Carolina.
Just
Georgia.
You wait till who I got Tennessee. I think you'll like it even better.
Okay.
And I'll just do it now. Tennessee, Texas. Come on, Manning, Arch Manning in Neyland Stadium.
UT versus TU. It'd be awesome, huh?
I mean, it doesn't get into that, does it?
No, that would be awesome. Have all the Mannings there. I mean, they don't have enough cameras for them Mannings up there in the stands, do they?
And then how about this one, Shane? I went, now this will make things difficult, but again, I'm trying to think of games I'm missing, right?
Yeah.
Bama and Texas A&M, because that was turning into a nice little thing there.
Yes.
Give me that one, too.
Bama, Texas A&M. That was a couple of great games that came down to the end. So, yeah, that would be an awesome one.
And then how about this, Shane? These fans, they don't like us talking about their schedules being weak. So how do we beef them up? Well, hell, they play each other, right? Ole Miss, Missouri. How about that game?
Ole Miss, Missouri.
Then all of a sudden their schedules, I mean, that'll be two of the top teams they play would be each other.
Ole Miss, I would like Ole Miss, Tennessee again. I mean, I didn't.
Well, can't do Tennessee for everybody.
Yeah, but I mean,
this is your third Tennessee you want.
I missed him with that mustard bottle, you know, so I would like to have another shot at Lane Kiffin there in Neyland.
Okay.
If I had to pick somebody else, I'd say I think those are really good. I love the Ole Miss.
Then it would have to be Missouri, Texas. I mean, hell, that'd be a fun game too, I guess.
Yeah, well, let me bring up Ole Miss's schedule there. Don't you miss Alabama being on it? I mean, that was a fun one.
Not as much as A&M.
Now that Saban's gone, I don't know.
That was more Nick Saban versus Kiffin to me.
Yeah, it feels like a good, but
and Ole Miss never beat him. That was just never a competitive game.
Yeah, but now if he did start beating them, you know what I'm saying? Then they're like, we got the wrong guy. I don't know. Bring your popcorn. It's the way I'd love to see that one again.
Okay. Well, then maybe A&M Missouri? They already play each other.
Yeah. So yeah. I got you. All right. Yeah, I don't want to change your list. Keep going.
How about this? Gauntlet versus Gauntlet?
Yeah.
Arkansas Vanderbilt. Ease it up for both of them.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one, huh? We'll pencil them at like 10 o'clock on a Thursday.
Well, if you didn't like it, you're going to hate this, Shane. Kentucky, Mississippi State.
Yeah, bring it back. Bring back the rivalry.
They both need that game, you know?
And they like give them a rule like they can't have any forward passes, you know? You got to run the entire time.
And then last but not least, Shane, so these are just the only two that were remaining on the board.
Uh-huh.
And they've already talked about making this a series, perhaps. Florida and Oklahoma, which I think would be a fun game.
Yeah. No, that would be. And I think they're going to force that rivalry on us. Right. We've talked. So, yeah, I think the OU-Florida rematch would be phenomenal.
Okay. All right. And then last one, Shane, before we get into the food questions. Love for the game, Reed Napper is his name.
Yep.
He says, hey, what is one piece of advice that you have or have received for getting into college football media podcast space? So I don't know. I just thought there might be people listening that want some advice. You got any advice for old Reed?
Can you read the question one more time?
Yeah. In this growing world of college football media, mm-hmm. What is one piece of advice that you have or have received for getting into the space?
For getting into it.
I think he's he's probably wanting to start a podcast or
just do it.
Be a reporter or, you know.
We had, is that Alyssa? Is that her name? I'm terrible at names, but she just said, get the mic in front of you. There's going to do 100 shows. You're going to suck at them. So just keep rolling with it. And the key is just being consistent. I've always told people that you can't just stop. You can't take a week off and go to the Outer Banks, North Carolina. You just can't do that unless you got SEC Mike sticking around.
But I was about to say, where are you going?
No, but honestly, it's just showing up because this is my outlet. This is our cousin's outlet. You know, you've had life sucks. Work sucks. You know, I'm upset that damn Cracker Barrel blocked me, you know, but I can come in here and this is 1 hour. I don't have to think about dumb shit. I can just think about college football and the sport I love. So just showing up. That's the main thing. Stay consistent and just have fun, man. If you're not having fun, then don't do it. If it's not fun, stop.
Right. Yeah, that's great. That's kind of where I was going to go. First and foremost, though.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a decent microphone because people will not listen to bad audio. It doesn't have to be you don't have to spend more than $80 on a microphone, you know, but just get something. That would be first of all. And, you know, Shane kind of hit it right there. I always tell people this, and I try not to scare. It's not intended to scare people, but plan to never make any money.
Yeah.
Because I think some people get into it and they think they're going to make a lot of money up. I've talked with people, Shane, that have 20,000 followers on social media, right?
Yes.
And they're like, if I could just get, they say 3-5% will pay you. You know, that I could live off that. It's like, it's not going to quite work out that way. We are very, very appreciative to all the donations, all the members and all that. It has taken us a long, long time to get to this point. So I don't know. If you don't love it, like Shane said, if you're not enjoying it, You're not going to get to that point.
Yeah.
And it's going to become a hassle, and you're going to be putting in hours and hours and hours, and you're not going to be getting anything out of it other than the enjoyment of talking to cousins, or, and hell, you probably won't even have them. It'll just be you and whoever yeah. you're talking with. So you got to make sure when it was Shane and I at the beginning, it was Shane and I at the beginning. You know what I mean? There was not anyone listening. So if we didn't enjoy it, we would not still be doing it today.
Yeah, exactly. So that's great words of advice. Good mic, I think, is important. Also, the camera. You know, one thing I can't stand for some reason is when people are like on it and they're using their computer and it's like up at them. You know, like, just pick a good angle. You don't have to look at your, you know, like, you can literally lift your computer up so it's like looking down on you a little bit or something. But they got these, Mike got me these little cameras. It's like a little tiny camera. I could put it up there. It's better quality than that's what I use in the morning when I'm doing the SEC hangover. So, but yeah, no, just having fun. At the end of the day, you're talking college football. You're not curing cancer here.
Dakota's got a secret. Get Taylor Swift as a girlfriend. That helps.
That helps.
Hey, I don't want to think want him to think we're ignoring him. Cousin Rick, Shane, 20 more bucks. Thank you, Rick. He says Tennessee, Texas, and Bama, A&M. Yeah, see, Cousin Rick knows what's up, Shane. That's exactly right.
Nailed it.
And Cousin Lou says, have a good mic and some good beer.
Hell yeah.
That's when the good takes start rolling. You know what?
Good Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah. All right, Shane, food questions. Your favorite.
Yes, finally.
Ashley, shout out Ashley. Cousin Shane's most disappointed visit to a restaurant.
My last Cracker Barrel visit. No, I'm just kidding. you know what? Since they're on my shit list, one of the most disappointing meals I got there was they had this steak tip meal, right? Uh-huh. And I was like, man, this looks so good. Looked great on the menu. But, you know, when you always go and you get like the same thing, I don't want to say the same thing, but I'm in a wheelhouse of 2 to 3 items that I have a tendency to get.
Right.
This was completely left field. I said, I want to try this. And it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And it wasn't that I didn't enjoy the meal. It was because I knew it wasn't a country fried steak at this point. So that was one of the most disappointing meals I've ever had.
Hey, shout out to Spartan Shane. He's talking about you. Talks about showing up, but is late half the time.
Irony. Hell yeah.
So that's literally the worst experience? There's not another one that stands out to you?
No, because I do a lot of game prep. If it's a new restaurant that I've never been to, I mean, I'm on Yelp. I'm going through the reviews. I'm pretty dialed in. There's one up here that was I can't remember the name of the restaurant, but it was a popular time. It was a Thanksgiving meal, and everybody went to this restaurant. We sat out there for 2 hours. I was disappointed with it just because it took so long, but I don't want to shout them out because it is a good restaurant if you're just going there, but not for a holiday meal. yeah, what about you? Do you have a meal that you kind of walked away like, golly, that was not that good?
So many.
The worst one, you want to know the worst meal, Mike? This is the worst one I had. I'll tell you. We're going down. Do you remember when I got really into NASCAR? And we rented a Durango and we went down to Talladega, right? And I wrote on the back, Kurt Busch, please don't wreck into us, because he was crashing everybody that season. But anyway, we stopped off at a Ruby Tuesdays, right? And so we go down there and we eat Ruby Tuesday. Not a huge fan of Ruby Tuesdays to begin with, but whatever, we ate it. I get down there, dude, it's food poisoning, right? The problem is we're camping out in this little tent and there's like 6 of us. So like every 15 minutes I'm waking up, I got to shit. So I'm getting out in the Durango and I have to drive like a quarter mile to get to porta potties, and I've went to this porta potty so many that I through elimination found the cleanest one. There's like 20 of them. I've been here so many times, I know that number 6 is the best one that's up here, right? So I'm on my 6th time going down here to this porta potty, and I'm right, and dude, one of my buddies is sleeping in the back of the Durango. I didn't know. It scared the shit out of me. He's like Shane. I was like, oh my god, you know, I'm swerving on the road. He goes, are you all right, man? You know, it's about the 6th time I made it there. So you want to talk about the absolute worst meal? Ruby Tuesday somewhere in Alabama.
But you made me think real quick. I don't want to get too graphic because it's pretty gross. But Carl's Jr. parties, you know, I got food poisoning. I don't know if you even remember this, but we were like teenagers and I was sick in the bathroom doing, you can imagine. And Shane went and got me, I don't know if you remember this. You went and got me medicine at the store and a little card. And it was like, feel better, buddy. And I'm like in the middle of being sick and you're like handing me a little card. Do you remember doing that?
No.
You just made me think that it was hilarious.
One last thing on Hardee's, but have you ever, when I discovered the Impossible meat stuff, I didn't know what that was. I was at a Hardee's, and they had a burrito, and it was the Impossible. And I'm looking at this, and like, I didn't know that what fake meat was. You know, I just thought it was like a new spicy meat or something. And I was like, damn, this looks good. I'm going to get their burrito. So I always get like biscuits, but I tried the burrito. I always do that when I try something different. I get what I want, and then I get this just in case. And I'm like 2 bites in. I'm like, this shit sucks. What is this? And I ended up throwing out. 3 days later, I found out that was like not even real meat.
Hey, shout out Buddy Israel. Shane, give us $10. Buckeye fan, but I'm a cousin now looking for an SEC team to root for.
Vols, baby. I mean, you got to see them, right? You like a redemption story, don't you?
Hey, shout out Joshua MIZ Chief. Shane, 10 memberships. Damn,
thank you, cuz. Appreciate you.
Shout out Kyle Taylor, Clark D, Roman Black, Isaac. Oh no, it just moved on me. Did Roman Black? Isaac. Less Action is his name. 96 Goham, Wesley Dunham, Chris Berry, Hookem from VA, Outdoors Man, and Aaron.
Welcome to the family. Thank you, cuz.
Joshua, we appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah. MIZ, baby.
All right. Hey, one more. Oh, wait. Two more food questions, Shane.
Hey, I ain't got nowhere to be.
Gamecock Barbecue Club. What a name. And I know what's on his mind, Shane. Top five coaches barbecue to attend. If you had to attend a barbecue in the SEC hosted by one of these coaches, or he says top five.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
So, yeah, Sam Pittman's got to be probably number one, don't you think?
Sam's number one. So barbecues I'd like to attend, right?
Yeah.
It seems like Elko could barbecue, right?
Oh, yeah.
Elko. I think I'm putting Elko on there. I'm going to throw Beamer just so I can get some of his wife's cookies. So we'll put that one on there. I know Josh Heupel is all that time in Oklahoma, this man's got to have some barbecue ties. And then my last one.
How about Sark with all that Texas barbecue? It's got to be good.
I don't know. He seems
Stoops and the bourbon.
Maybe Stoops. Yeah, I think Sark seems a little too healthy for me. I'd probably go
Lebby.
Oh, Lebby. You know he knows all the spots. He'd probably have it catered. So give me Lebby. Yeah, that's a good one.
And then I think all time, Shane.
Yeah.
It would be Mike Leach.
For barbecue?
I mean, just to hang out with.
Oh, well,
over a meal, you know?
Yeah, that would be great. I don't care what we eat. We could eat Impossible meat, and I'd done that with the Pirates. So, same with the old ball coach Steve Spurrier. I think that would be awesome. He's over in Carolina. We get some at Carolina barbecue. So,
yeah,
that would be a good one.
All right, hey, shout out. Last question, Shay. We always save for the end. Cousin Trey Tucker, what's Arkansas ceiling if Talen Green is a top three quarterback and the defense is top 25 in the country, Shane? What is the ceiling for Arkansas? And I know this is going to be kind of pessimistic.
Yeah.
But hell, man, top 25 defense, which I don't even think it's possible they could get that good of a defense. But that's you're talking like the 12th, 13th best defense in this conference. That's the problem you're facing with Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Tennessee, A&M, Auburn, LSU, Texas, Missouri. All those defenses could be top 25.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not saying doom and gloom, but, ceiling, Taylor Green, top three quarterback, top 25 defense. Probably, we're probably talking 8-4.
8-4, yes. I believe you're right. It's not, I mean, look at the schedule. Like you said, Ole Miss, forget Notre Dame. Tennessee, A&M, Auburn, LSU, Texas, Mizzou. Best case scenario, even if you get, I mean, you're going to be underdogs in just about every game that right. you play in this conference. So, yeah, I think 8-4 would be the number.
Okay. And then here's his food question, Shane, which I know you're really excited about. Headed to the church potluck, what are you loading up on?
Dude, you can't go wrong with church potlucks. I those are my favorite growing up, you know. And when you were a kid, you didn't know it was happening till you pulled in and you saw everybody taking them casseroles back here. You're like, oh baby, noon can't get here soon enough. So what am I looking for?
Not green bean casserole.
Hell no.
I love that, but Shane hates it.
One of my favorites is just the mac and cheese casseroles with the crunchies on top, you know. Mm-hmm. Always looking for that. Then I get like a little, because a lot of times ladies will bring multiple ones of these, so I'm comparing which one's the best. And my mamaw's sister, so my great aunt, she used to do a spaghetti casserole. And it basically, it's like spaghetti, and then it was like cheese pepperonis on top, but like a lot of cheese on it. So, dude, I wore it out, and it's sad because I don't go there that much. And we had a death in our family several months ago, and we went, and these ladies, they cooked all it. And then you get these meals again, and it just takes you right back to when you're 12 years old just wearing this dish out after church. So maybe that's why it's a little more sentimental for me, too.
Yeah, and then he says, what are you avoiding at the church potluck? And I guess we already answered
that. Green bean casserole, anything with vegetables in it. Or I don't care how many of them little French onion sticks you put on there. That thing's still terrible.
And then best dessert.
Oh, at one of those, yeah. I would say, you cannot go. It seems like they all kind of go to the same thing. Those like strawberry shortcake deals, those are always a winner in my opinion. any type of chocolate. No, I mean, most of them they're just great. German, like there's one, she does a German chocolate cake and she, you know, puts all that stuff on it and then layers it. I would never order German chocolate cake anywhere I go, but when I have it there, it's phenomenal.
Old Mesa, Shane about to abandon us.
Dude, I'm about to see ya. Can we wrap it up?
I'll just share this real quick. Shane had a 4th of July picnic. Kind of like a potluck yeah. type deal. And it was so funny. And it, I just thought of it because you, what'd you say? A strawberry, what would you say? Or a cherry or?
It's like a strawberry shortcake.
Right. So Shane got, I don't even know who made it or what it was, but it was some kind of cherry dish. It was a dessert. Yeah. And one of the kids came over and said, hey, what's that? And he's like, go get you some. It's great. He's like, I'll tell you what, go get you some. You don't like it? I'll eat it. He's sitting there already eating it. You know?
She did. That was great. It's one of those dump cakes, you know. And I don't know how do you do it, but I don't know. It was phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal. Probably had cinnamon in it.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Hey, that's all we got on this episode. And don't forget, Cousin Shane's going to be on vacation.
Yes,
next week. So. We'll still be here every day. I'm trying to figure out the schedule. I'm going to try to get different people. And, man, we're going to have fun because college football, Shane, is just days away. Oh, next week, like a week from today, mm-hmm. we're going to be kicking off week 0 action.
Yes.
Can't wait, buddy.
Yes, absolutely. I'll be out next week, but I am going to be here tomorrow. So tune in 7:30 in the morning. We're going to have SEC Hangover, a little more laid back than this show, but I do like catching up with the cousins. You got anything dumb you want to talk about, send it my way. You can always, we'll put a link in the show notes where you guys can leave voicemails. So if you have any questions and you want that played online, just be sure to post on there and I'll be able to include you tomorrow. But shout out JP putting together today's shout outs goes to Steven Up, Volpet, Liquid Flames, Sorley, Gunner Ward, Cousin JR, Cousin Lou, Savos, D-Max, A-Aaron, Harmon, Chase Moore, Cousin Rick, Rendon Lake, The Bingle, Crazy with the Cheese Whiz, OU Jordan, Royce Pierce, Hollywood, Buddy Israel, and Joshua, Miss Chief, JP as well. Thank you all for being legends today.
And Joshua just became a member, Shane.
Bam!
Welcome to the family. We appreciate each and every one of you. Until next time, Shane, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right,
I just repeated myself.
Yeah. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.